is seldom met with, even in 100,000 myriad cultures. Now we can see and hear it. We can remember and accept it. I vow to make the Buddha's truth one with myself.
Homage to the Buddha, homage to the Dharma, homage to the Sangha. When talking to you last in the common room on the lecture concerning the codes, there were, of course, parts of them that weren't covered. There is also the fact that the codes, apart from the ones for the eternal and the Buddha nature, are frequently different in different places. This is because people were trying to express the inexpressible. They weren't deliberately trying to encode something. They were trying to describe something which they had no means of describing. Therefore, they would say it is like the power and the warmth and the life of the sun, or like the sun's reflection, and naturally it became the moon. But you should not think that they set out deliberately to create a code. They were trying to give you examples. They were trying to explain the inexplicable. Also, a tremendous amount of the codes came out of people's own personal koans. One person would always use plum blossoms to explain the eternal. Another would always use bamboo. A third, snails. Whatever it is that gives you your experience of the eternal is the thing that you are going to think everybody else is going to find their experience in, maybe. And therefore you use that, and you use it a tremendous amount. I got mine through water, and therefore I use water a tremendous amount. But you should not think that there is just one set of code words. Although generally accepted, sun and moon for the eternal and the Buddha nature. Elephants for saints, dragons for defenders of the faith. The donkey always represents evil, and the horse always represents good. It's unfortunate for those of us in this country who happen to be Democrats, but that's the way it is. I didn't create the code. You need to know that, or you will not completely understand the next chapter. So understand that there was not a creation of a code just to keep the eternal's teachings safe. And you should understand that the word eternal, which I use, is also, in a way, a code used to describe the inexplicable. It's all very well for a lot of people to just sit silently and say, this expresses everything. You can't get a visa to this country on saying you sit quietly and this expresses everything. You have to have some means of explaining it. And to do that, we have to use words, and we have to know that the certain words express the inexpressible. I prefer the term eternal, for it is an unborn, unchanging, and uncreated. In the East, they use the word sun, and for the Buddha nature, moon. Only at a later date, much later, was it seen to be valuable, in that these things hid truth from people who it was unwise to allow to know what was really going on. A lot of emperors, for example, were very dangerous people, and it was a lot wiser to be a sort of eccentric, old monk who was a bit of an ass than to be understood as someone who knew what might be interpreted as a king of kings in the mind of a paranoid monarch. One has to remember them, these things, in that sense. Now, I'm going to put the cat among the pigeons somewhat today with this particular lecture, because, you see, Dogon said on one occasion, keeping the precepts of the Srivakas is the same as breaking the precepts of the Bodhisattvas. And that's where I'm starting from today. The term Shōakumakusa, which is the chapter 63, page 171, in your books, speaks of this. Shōaku is a word that means to refrain from or to cease from. But when you use it as cease from, it is not referring to someone commanding you to cease, but you commanding yourself to cease. Cease from evil, do only good, do good for others. The three pure precepts, the precepts of the Bodhisattvas, which sometime requires us to break the precepts of the Srivakas. Shōaku, to refrain from, to cease from. Makusa, evil. Things that are unreal. Delusions. That which hides us from the eternal. Dogen says, an ancient Buddha said, refrain from all evil, practice all that is good, purify your heart. This is the teaching of all the Buddhas. Unfortunately, the word has been translated as mind here, but it is the kokoro, the shin, the heart mind, that is being referred to. And in this temple we have used for this term the word heart, recognizing that that is the word we are using to represent that, since mind implies too much of an intellectual occupation. It isn't purify your mind, purify your intellectual occupations has always been a thorn in my side when trying to teach people. Purify your heart, they seem to understand a lot better. Purify your true essence. Or rather, clean up that which hides it from you. This precept has been kept by all the Buddhas and patriarchs in the past and present, both before and after the seven Buddhas. It has been handed down from Buddha to Buddha. This precept is not only the possession of the seven Buddhas, it is the teaching of all the Buddhas. The Dharma way of the seven Buddhas is the sum total of all their actions. This is the way in which we must clarify this particular precept. There is an essential spirit in the continuous transmission and bestowal, which I call the eternal, and which here Dogen calls the essential spirit. That spirit encompasses both the teaching of all the Buddhas and their practice and their enlightenment. All evil means the evil nature or the evil possibilities that are contained in good. And believe me, in doing good, there are always some evil possibilities. Those evil possibilities contained in bad, and as Dogen puts it, neutral, but which I would call indifferent. That inherent evil nature of good, bad, and indifferent is an unborn nature. These three elements, good, bad, and neutral, possess diverse forms. All evil means that the evil in this world and others, in the past and present, and among men and gods, is not always the same. For there is that which will appear evil at one time and good at another. Evil is conditioned by time and existence, by social and political structures, thus one person who teaches the truth may end up as an executed criminal, and another may end up as a great saint. This is judging by the eyes of men. The eternal is and always will be the same. Between the Buddhist way and worldly life, there is a big difference in the ways of evil, good, and indifferent or neutral. What may be good in the Buddhist way may not necessarily be perceived as such by the worldly mind. This chapter opens great vistas of possibilities. And in the weeks to come, you should ask your Kyojushis or the Roshis who will be working with you in panels about this matter. Good and evil exist in time. But time itself is not good and evil. It is simply time. There are fashions, as it were, in delusions and notions and theories. Good and evil exist within the Dharma, but the Dharma itself is neither good nor evil. It is simply the Dharma. It exists beyond, outside, the opposites. And again, I am about to contradict myself, for it neither exists nor does not exist. Good, evil, and the Dharma are equal in our minds. Only when we know the truth can we get beyond to the eternal. And then we know that the eternal and the Dharma are one. When we study supreme and perfect enlightenment, we listen to the teaching. We practice and we bear the fruits of enlightenment. This is, of course, profound, vast, and marvelous. We learn about supreme enlightenment from our venerable elders or from the scriptures. The very first words that any teacher or priest should teach to another person are, refrain from all evil. In fact, this was the great mistake that was made in the 50s when my generation, the Beat generation, was beginning to study Zen. Because the teachers who came over, hearing that we were Buddhists, naturally presumed that the very first thing we'd ever heard was refrain from all evil. And therefore went on from there saying, you can be completely and totally free. Whereat everybody said, goody, goody, and got down to committing every sin they could think of. Plus a few that I'd never heard of. But the very, very first teaching, as Dogen makes very clear to everyone, and one of the reasons I chose this chapter for this morning is because we have some new people here, some new friends, lay friends, who may not know this. The very first thing that one should hear as a Buddhist is refrain from all evil. That is the greatest of all teachings. But before you can refrain from it, you've got to know what it is. It's like telling a child, how do you beware of a bull? You have to know what a bull can do, and you also have to know the meaning of the word beware. Ignorance, whilst helping us in some ways, as we imagine, is no excuse. And in the end, doesn't help us at all, only keeps us continuously in bondage. So the very first thing that a genuine teacher of Buddhism will teach to anyone is refrain from evil. Sho aku makusa. Refrain from evil. Cease from evil. Just as sho aku go is refrain from self, which is the next one on. Sho aku, refrain from or cease from, go, self or I. It is interesting that the word go, as it's pronounced in this country, or go, the game, means self or I. And if you ever watch the way it is played and the way they slam the pieces down on the board, it's a funny game for monks to be playing, but I've seen it done in the East and wondered why. Anyway, I'm digressing. Where was I? The first words we hear then are refrain from all evil. If we do not hear these words, says Dogen, then he who is doing the teaching and the teaching itself is not the Buddhist teaching, but the teaching of demons. One of the worst things Dogen has ever said about anything. The first thing is cease from evil. And if a teacher does not teach you that, then it is understood that that teacher lives with demons until such time as he teaches it. I am not saying that. I am saying that is what I was taught. Just in case somebody runs off to somebody else in this country and says, she says you're a demon. I have not said that. Dogen has. We should know that when we hear refrain from all evil, we are hearing the true law of Buddha. Yet refraining from all evil is not what ordinary people attempt to do in the beginning. Only after hearing an explanation of enlightenment can we understand the meaning of the words, which are based on the words of supreme enlightenment. Such words are enlightened words, and words that are of themselves enlightened. Supreme enlightenment is contained in these words, And by listening to them, we can attempt to continually refrain from evil. And it is the intent, the constant attempt to refrain from evil, which is the greatest of all training. As I have said many times, one cannot have a great Kensho until one has rooted out all lust, physical lust, and all anger. Where no evil is produced, the true strength of practice is actualized. And it is actualized by the constant attempt to cease from evil. This actualization covers the entire earth, the whole of the world, all of time, and all of the dharmas. For actualization is the result of intent, and intent is the result. Attempt is the result of intent. The measure of its actualization depends on the amount of refraining from evil, depends upon the will to cease from evil, for that is what will regulate in the end the amount of attempting to cease from evil. Those who have reached the state of refraining from evil can dwell in the midst of various evils of this world and others without committing any evil themselves, since refraining from evil actualizes a certain amount of power of itself. Evil is, by that actualization, restrained. You note that Dogen says restrained. He does not say destroyed. We attempt to destroy things. We need to be able to learn to live with them. Therefore, training is constant. Practice is constant. Evil lacks the necessary requisites for true power. It is important that we remember this. The principle of actualization is the ability of sometimes holding on to something and sometimes letting go of it. Those who arrive at this stage can clarify this principle. They can also clarify the principle that evil can neither break nor taint them. But do not necessarily expect the world to understand this. Simply by practicing with our entire body, that is, with all our physical desires, as well as the true intention of our minds, and with the longing of the spirit, this should be understood as body and mind in this particular chapter. By making use of our consciousness and by making use of our karma and learning from both, this should also be understood by body and mind in this chapter. We can accomplish 80 or 90% of our task without any conscious restraint. We only think we have restraint if we are the person, if we are the sort of person who thinks that the master is saying to us, "Thou shalt not commit evil." But if we understand the term shōaku as "I will refrain from" or "I will cease from," then there will be no conscious restraint. If we practice with our entire bodies and minds, as I spoke of above, the power derived from the four elements and the five skandhas will emerge. The four elements and the five skandhas of themselves are untainted. It is what consciousness and karma have done to them that is the problem. The four elements and the five skandhas are just the four elements and the five skandhas. Within the present four elements and five skandhas, there can be, therefore, continuous practice. The power of the four elements and five skandhas of our present practice can remake the previous conditions of those elements, i.e., it can remake the previous consciousness and karma that brought those five skandhas into condition in the first, into existence in the first place. This practice is carried out in the mountains, in the rivers, earth, sun, moon, and stars. Indeed, the mountains, rivers, earth, sun, moon, and stars make us practice, for they teach us the ceasing of evil. Enlightened vision does not only occur in an instant, as some schools of Buddhism would teach us. And herein lies the fundamental difference between Soto and Rinzai. As Dogen says, enlightened vision is constantly active at all times. It is the constant pouring of the gold into the well. And the reason why we are asked, is the gold in or out the well? Since enlightened vision is active at all times, it enables the Buddhas and patriarchs to practice, hear the teaching, and bear the fruits of enlightenment. The Buddhas and patriarchs have never defiled teaching, practice, and enlightenment. Consequently, those things present no obstacles to them. The Buddhas and patriarchs have never avoided teaching, practice, and enlightenment in the past, present, or in the future. When sentient beings become Buddhas and patriarchs as a result of refraining from evil, the actions of other Buddhas and patriarchs are not obstacles. However, it is important to remember that if the actions of Buddhas and patriarchs seem to be obstacles, then we should examine ourselves carefully to see where it is that we are not refraining from evil. This is to carefully consider the principle of becoming a Buddha or patriarch through the daily actions of walking, staying, sitting, and lying. When sentient beings become Buddhas and patriarchs, they are not broken nor lost. It is simply that body and mind have dropped off. Body and mind, meaning consciousness and karma, in this case. They are no longer controlled by either. Practice is accomplished through the law of karma. That is, it is not moved by karma, nor does it create new karma. Because there is a cutting of the roots of karma, and no new bad karma, therefore, is created, that which brought this bunch of skandhas into existence, the previous karma, begins to become apparent. And the koan, in the form of past lives and the like, manifests itself. So that we can see how to continue to practice without being caught up in that for which we have a prevalence because of the load of karma that brought us into existence. It is like having a weakness in a certain place, and the Eternal allows us to know of that weakness. But it is not just the Eternal allowing us to know of it. It is we that wanted to know of it. We beckoned to the Eternal because we wished to be one with the Eternal. We no longer wanted to be as we are. We wanted to cease from evil. And in ceasing from evil, we were able to see that which made us evil, or that which conditioned our evil. And in cleaning that up, we are allowed to see our original face, to know the Eternal. When the original nature of our karma is illuminated in finding and understanding the ultimate koan, we see true refraining, we see impermanence, and the karma that ceases and never stops because there is only detachment. If we study in this way, we will see that we are able to refrain from all evil. But again, will enters into it. We are able to refrain from it. There has to be the intent and the actualization. Intent, attempt, actualization. That is the order. When this understanding is actualized, we can completely refrain from all evil and cut off all delusions through our meditations, our Zen. And at all times we must grasp the will. When this happens, from beginning to end, all our actions will be free of evil, and evil karma will not arise from any condition. There is only non-creation of evil in this state. It is not that evil is annihilated by conditions, says Dogen, but rather there is simply a non-creation of evil. Do not expect to annihilate evil. If all evil is equal, then all dharmas are equal. Do not think that evil arises from certain conditions of cause and effect. If you do not realize that karma itself is non-created, you are to be pitied. The seed of enlightenment arises from the chain of causation and vice versa. And if you would understand this clearly, you need to study very carefully the chain of dependent origination, which makes it very clear. There is an intent to go one way or an intent to go another. When one stays still in Zazen, there is a non-creation of evil. When one's actions are done from the activity in inactivity, of which I talked to Roshis recently, then one may live in the world as if in the sky and be untainted by the evil and the delusion within that world. Says Dogen, there is no non-existence of evil, and there is no existence of evil. There is no emptiness and no form. There is only refraining from evil, ceasing from evil. Not refraining from evil, therefore, becomes refraining from evil. For example, a spring pine, an autumn chrysanthemum, all the Buddhas, a pillar, a stone lantern, a fly whisk, a staff, and even we ourselves are not existent nor non-existent. For the eternal is in all things. When we know the eternal, there is not refraining from evil and refraining from evil. In this place, there is being one with the eternal. And there is beyond being one with the eternal, where the silence exists and no more need be said, which is one and the same as being one with all the dharmas and one with the eternal. This kind of study enables us to actualize our original koan. And to actualize true life. It must be studied both objectively and subjectively. Any regret or remorse we feel for creating evil derives from the principle of refraining or ceasing from all evil, and is the virtuous power of refraining from evil that will eventually teach us not only how to actualize true training, but also give us sufficient intent and sufficient attempt to refrain from evil. However, to think that we cannot refrain from evil is like heading north when we want to go south. Refraining from all evil is not just the donkey looking at the well, but also the well looking at the donkey, and the well looking at the well, and the donkey looking at the donkey. Human beings looking at human beings, and mountains looking at mountains. Because such a principle exists, because the relationship between evil and its creation exists, is, as it were, space or shadows, or a moon reflected in the water. Since all things are refraining from evil, all forms are refraining from evil. This is like space, existing no matter where you point. It is like the moon reflected in the water. The water does not disturb the moon. This kind of refraining from evil is surely and truly actualized. Practice all that is good is the next part of this precept. All that is good is the good of the three natures: good, bad, neutral, or indifferent. And there is good in bad and good in neutral. Although good exists within the nature of good, it does not mean that good has some previous independent existence and is waiting to be accomplished. When good is done, it contains all good. Although good is formless, when it is done, it attracts more good faster than a magnet attracts iron. Its power is stronger than the strongest wind. All the accumulated karma throughout the earth, mountains, rivers, world, and lands cannot obstruct the power of good done in this way. However, the interpretation of good depends upon various circumstances. Good being evaluated according to people's experience, according to the social structure of the time and the political situation. Therefore, what one monastery may do may be thought of as good by one person or one bunch of people, and is not good by others. There are those from monasteries who go out and demonstrate. By some this will be seen to be good, by others it will not be. No act is of itself. Good in the sense in which the eternal, in which it will be viewed by the eternal. For the eternal is and does not view. There is simply the essence of good. The intent to do good, the attempt to do good, is the all-important thing, and puts paid with a vengeance to some of the theories of the prevailing code of morality in this country. Similarly, the essence of the Dharma proclaimed by all the Buddhas of the three worlds is the same, yet the actual words used depend on the time and circumstances. It depends again upon the social and political system in which the truth is declared. Therefore, Buddhist teaching has always been required to keep the law of the land. And if that law was deliberately against the true teachings, to work within that system to change the law, not to have a riot. Even though the life and quantity of Buddhahood varies according to the situation, the Dharma proclaimed, no matter in what words or what language, is still that of non-discrimination. Therefore, the good contained in belief and the good of the Dharma are the same. To the best of my belief, I am doing that which is good. The eternal does not hold this against one. But one must not play with holy things. One must think very deeply and very carefully upon every act. There must be a genuine attempt to cease from evil, as a result of genuine intent to cease from evil. And so Dogen can say, the good contained in belief and the good of the Dharma are the same, even though they may appear to be different. And therefore, keeping the precepts of the Sravakas is frequently the same as breaking the precepts of the Bodhisattvas. Good is independent of the creation of cessation of karma. Although good is all dharmas are not good karma. Karma, arising, ceasing, and good have their own beginning and end. We should practice all that is good, but it should not be done consciously by ourselves or on the instructions of others. In the consciousness of self and others, there is knowledge and observation of self and others. Therefore, each active enlightened vision causes the sun and moon to appear. Each active enlightened thing, each active enlightened act, causes the appearance of the eternal and the knowledge of the Buddha nature. This is to practice all that is good. When good is done at the proper time, enlightenment is actualized. But it is not the first or last actualization. This is how we should understand to practice all that is good. Although practicing all that is good is necessary, we must not think of it analytically, and our enlightened vision must not be based on conjecture. In addition, it must not be used in order to evaluate the Dharma. Analysis with enlightened vision differs from general observations. For the Dharma is the Dharma, and beyond all analysis, as is the eternal and the Buddha nature. Good is not existence, non-existence, emptiness, form, etc. Good is just practice, the intent, the attempt, and the actualization. No matter where or when it is actualized, it is practice. Practice surely actualizes all that is good, says Dogen. The actualization of practice is the koan, that is, beyond creation, destruction, or karma. For the actualization of practice is the knowledge beyond knowledge. It is to become one with the eternal. Entering, staying, leaving, etc., are as this. The practice of just one small good that is done with true intent and true attempt covers all dharmas, all bodies, the ground of truth, everything. This is the practicing of all that is good. Good karma is the actualization of enlightenment of practice. It is the result of ceasing from evil and doing that which is good, which eventually leads to the purification of the heart. Although it is not possible to say that cause always precedes effect, both cause and effect are fulfilled and completed. Cause is usually thought of as preceding effect, but actually neither one comes before or after. This is due to the equality and identification of before and after, for there are no opposites in the eternal. I will speak of purifying the mind tomorrow, purifying the heart. Wish all the Buddhas in all worlds. Homage to all the bodhisattvas in all worlds. Homage to the scripture of great wisdom.
The unsurpassed, penetrating perfect truth, it is seldom met with, even in 100,000 myriad talas. Now we can see and hear it. We can remember and accept it. I vow to make the Buddha's truth one with myself.
Before commencing this lecture, I would like to put on the tape that any crashes heard is snow coming off the roof of the meditation hall, just for future generations who listen in. Homage to the Buddha, homage to the Dharma, homage to the Sangha. Yesterday, I talked of the first part of Shoyaku Makusa. Today, I want to talk about the last part of the precept, purifying the heart. Many of you, I'm sure, who as children or even as adults have done something wrong and deeply regretted it. Know the incredibly beautifully clean feeling that comes as a result of remorse. Or, as it is often said, tears wash away what we have done wrong. One should know that refraining from doing evil and purifying the heart are one and the same thing. For in refraining from doing evil, there is the intention to do no evil. And if there is the intention to do no evil, then the heart naturally does not have more rubbish thrown into the sea of immaculacy which lives in the Hara. And therefore the moon can reflect naturally upon the water. The less karmic rubbish, the cleaner the water becomes, the clearer the moon can shine. The moon, remember, always representing the reflection of the eternal, or the Buddha nature, which is in every one of us. When there is much karmic dirt, then the Buddha nature cannot be reflected. As we refrain from making more karma, so gradually the very old dirt and the very old dirt that is within comes to the surface and is cleansed. And any of us here who have had past life experience and the like know what an exquisitely clean feeling having that stuff come to the surface and dealing with it can be. One of the most exquisite feelings there is. And a feeling of becoming, some say more thinner, others say more ethereal, but which in the East is called becoming more spiritual, becoming more aware of the spirit. Therefore, Dogen says that to purify the heart is the very self of the term to refrain from. And the refraining itself is the purification. So don't worry about how you purify your heart. Just refrain from evil by intending to do none. The purification will happen automatically. As will also, as a result of meditation, the gold will enter the well. We do not have to worry about the analysis of how or why. Just refrain from evil by intending never to do evil. Thus Dogen can say quite clearly, there is a self of your heart and a refrain of your heart. And there is a heart, a purification, and a self of practice. And because of this, we have, this is the teaching of all the Buddhas. Just simply refrain from evil. All the Buddhas are like the gods of total freedom. But although they may have some things in common, the gods of total freedom are not all the Buddhas. The four kings that hold up the four corners, the Chakravartin, have great power and freedom, but are not all the Buddhas. They are only the four kings. Only is a wrong word. We must clarify this in detail. For those who do not study the nature of all the Buddhas, only create suffering for themselves and other sentient beings, and they do not practice the way of the Buddha, to refrain from evil and to practice mean simply that the donkey leaves and the horse arrives. Now, as well as the donkey representing evil and the horse representing good, the donkey also represents the will and the horse, words or actual teaching. Presumably, they use the donkey for the will because the will can frequently be used very evilly. Yet it is by means of the will that our intent is shown. Therefore, one needs a converted donkey to come back, and a highly intelligent horse to arrive, and also a highly intuitive horse. For words alone will not do it. One has to find the truth within oneself. The poet Hakurakuten of the Tang Dynasty was a lay disciple of Bukko Nyoman, who was the Dharma heir of Baso. When he was a high official in Koshu, he studied under Zen Master Dorin of Choka. That's around 740 AD. Once Hakurakuten asked Dorin, "What is the essence of the Buddhist Dharma?" Dorin replied, "Refrain from all evil. Practice all that is good." Hakurakuten said, "Even a child of three knows that." Dorin said, "A child of three may know it, but even a man of 80, which, by the way, was Hakurakuten's age, cannot do it." Hakurakuten bowed deeply. The use of the terms child of three and child of seven, or little girl of seven, should be clarified. It has always been believed in Buddhism, and interestingly enough also in Catholicism, that the child up until the age of seven, because of its intent, although it may do wrong in the eyes of the world, in actual fact, does no wrong in the eyes of the eternal. This being so, Hakurakuten is making it very clear that he does not understand the true meaning of ceasing from evil. He thinks only of it from the point of view of lawyers and those who create moral codes. He does not realize that the will to do evil must arise. Before there is actual evil. And a little girl of three, or a little boy of three, should not have that intent. Now, I'm not saying that all children of three do not know how to annoy their parents, nor am I saying they do not have the will and the intent to do wrong. I am saying that it is believed, both in Buddhism and Catholicism, that up to the age of seven, the intent is pure. Perhaps in this day and age, with everybody getting younger and younger at what they do, especially at what they shouldn't do, Perhaps the age has lowered somewhat. I don't know. But what I have said here is the explanation of Dorin's comment. As Dogen says, Haku Rakuten was a descendant of General Haku and an outstanding poet. People say his work will endure forever, and he is sometimes considered to be another Manjusri or Maitreya, which means, of course, that one's words may be good, but one still does not know the basic truth of Buddhism. There is no one who has not heard of Haku Rakuten. Dogen here is speaking, of course, in the 1200s. He has no equal in the literary world. Nevertheless, he was just a beginner in the Buddhist way, despite the fact that he was an old man. Furthermore, he could not even begin to dream of the inner meaning of refrain from all evil, practice all that is good. In other words, don't worry about such things as moral codes. Just know that your intent is good. It is also fortunate for you if it goes along with the prevalent moral code. Otherwise, you may have some interesting and rather unpleasant karma as a result of the intent to do good. Do not expect the behavior of the enlightened man and the behavior of the world in general to always mesh together. Haku Rakuten thought that Dorin was just like an ordinary layman after he heard Dorin repeat such a common phrase. And I myself, when asked at Kuala Lumpur University by an audience of Muslims what was the basic teaching of Buddhism, gave this statement. And immediately they all informed me, oh, we've known that since childhood. And Reverend Dhammananda from the Jhelum Bricklands Temple, and I struggled on for a couple of hours, and that was the end of that. Anyway, Haku Rakuten failed to realize that the principle of refraining from all evil and practicing all that is good has been transmitted from ancient times to the present in the Buddhist way. Since he had and encouraging good, this discourse is really the actualization of refraining and how to refrain and knowing the meaning of refrain. Generally in the Buddhist Dharma, both what we learn from virtuous people and from practice is the same. And this is called Buddhist cause and Buddhist effect. When you see the term Buddhist cause and Buddhist effect, you should understand that what is referred to is learning from one who knows the Dharma and practicing that which is done, that which is recommended by those who have studied the Dharma and know it. That is Buddhist karma. That is why we take refuge in each other, and even the abbot asks his disciples advice on many things. It is perfect from start to finish. It is called marvelous cause, sometimes a marvelous effect. Or, as I said, Buddhist cause and Buddhist effect. You should know that karma, cause and effect in Buddhism, differs from the idea of ijuku, as it is called in Japan, which is a cause which makes a different effect, and toryu, a cause which makes an equal effect, or what we normally think of as cause and effect in karma. If there is no Buddhist cause, there can be no Buddhist effect. Dorin understood this principle and therefore possessed the Buddhist Dharma, as did Reverend Dharmananda in Kuala Lumpur. Even if evil blankets the entire world with many layers and absorbs all the elements, it is still the detachment of refraining from evil, since good is good from beginning to end. When we practice the truth, the nature, form, shape, and strength of practice emerge as genuine good. And therefore, evil can blanket the entire world with many layers and absorb all the elements of that world. And still we will be able to be detached and enjoy the detachment of refraining from evil. For that evil cannot touch us if we understand the meaning of refraining from evil. Haku Rakuten lacked this understanding. Consequently, he was able to say even a child of three knows that. And he said it because he lacked the power of attainment of the way, in spite of his exquisite writings. When someone brings you an exquisite Buddhist writing, be careful. Do not just believe the words. Consult your true heart, the kothraw, the shin. Meditate with those words. And if the wheel turns, know then that this one perhaps knows the truth. For although you know the truth, and these words may turn the wheel within you, you have to be certain that the person himself had the wheel turn within him before you can say that he is the descendant of Maitreya or the future Maitreya or Manjushri. Dogen complains bitterly about Hakuten, saying, "Miserable Haku Rakuten, why did you say such a thing? Because you failed to learn the Buddhist teaching, it is doubtful whether you know anything about the ability or natural talent of a three-year-old child to know the eternal. If someone can truly understand a three-year-old child, he will know all the Buddhas of the three worlds." Remember here that he is speaking of the Buddhist understanding that a child of three has pure intent. If you do not know those Buddhas, you can never understand a three-year-old child. Do not think that we know a child just because we have met him, and for vice versa. If we can understand a speck of dust, which also has the pure intent of simply being a speck of dust, or a flower which has the pure intent of simply being a flower, we can know the entire world. One who truly knows one Dharma can understand all Dharmas. For knowing the pure intent of one, we can know the pure intent of all. I have spoken to you many times of the monk who was angry with me about taking a bath. And then I realized there was no anger within. The intent had been pure, simply to let me know not to break the rules. When anger of this type arises, if one stays still within, one can hear if there is indeed pure intent. It is a very important point in a large training monastery. If one fails to understand all dharmas, says Dogen, how can one understand one dharma? One who has total perception can see all dharmas. And one who can see one Dharma, such as a speck of dust or one flower, and learn about the entire world from it, knows every Dharma. Anyone who thinks that a three-year-old child is unable to say anything about the Buddhist Dharma and that all his talk is simple is very foolish, for he is only listening with his ears and not with his heart. To clarify the great matter of life and death is the central problem of Buddhism, to give meaning to our existence so that we may find the eternal and no longer fear either life or death. An ancient worthy said, "When you were first born into this world, you could roar like a lion, although it may only have sounded like a weak cry to many." That lion's roar is the virtue of the eternal, the Tathagata, his actual turning of the wheel of the law and proclaiming the Dharma. For when there is pure intent, there is only the sound of the eternal. Another worthy, Engo Kokugon, said, "The coming and going of life and death is the true body of man." For within this coming and going lives the eternal. Therefore, clarifying the true body and possessing the virtue of a lion's roar is truly a great event, and not at all easy or simple. Hence, clarification of a three-year-old child's actions and words is a great matter. Knowing what is behind these actions and words, knowing the purity, for this purity of intent is the same as the actions and words of all the Buddhas of the three worlds. The editor has inserted a phrase in the book here which should not be here. It is in parentheses for those of you who are following it. Haku Rakuten foolishly misunderstood the meaning of a three-year-old child's attainment of the way. He was not puzzled by it, and therefore said the above statement. Dorin's words peal like thunder, and louder than thunder, but still Haku Rakuten did not and could not hear them, because he had not yet truly practiced the way or understood it. Perhaps he had practiced it, but not yet understood. Who knows? After all, this is a lot of years ago. When he said even a three-year-old child knows that, he meant a three-year-old child has nothing to say about attaining the way. It is merely a three-year-old child. It has done no training. He did not hear the child roaring like a lion with the voice of the eternal. He did not know of the master's turning of the wheel of the law, for it did not turn within him. And that is why I said, when you read wonderful and beautiful words that turn within the wheel within you, you cannot say someone is the descendant of Manjusri or a future Maitreya until you know for certain that the wheel turns within him or her. The master could not help feeling pity for Haku Rakuten and said, "A child of three may know it, but even a man of 80 cannot tell it or do it. To refrain from evil." We must carefully study this point about the three-year-old child, and also the point about the 80-year-old man being unable to practice it. The child's attainment is entrusted to you by your own deep study and your own purification of your own heart. His words, the cries, and screams are of no real importance. What is important is hearing the intent. Therefore, Dogen says in his slightly obtuse way, his words are not typical. The old man's inability to practice also depends on you and how deeply you study the way. And Dogen in his faith says, he also is not a typical person. And I add at the end, we hope. It is necessary to have this kind of understanding. Profound thinking, correct explanation, and basic understanding if we would understand the Buddhist law. We must study the meaning of each word with great care and know that to purify the heart is indeed to have the intention of refraining from evil. The basis for this lecture was delivered to the monks of Canon Dori Koshō Hō Rinji, in Uji on the evening of August the 21st,